Right, yeah, it's a real privilege to be able to, you know, to come and bring God's word, and I'm still learning in this, growing in this. But what I find is most of the time is as you're preparing, it actually changes me hugely as well, you know. So I think that's part of God's plan. So I do try and take this seriously. So I trust that I've heard from God this morning. And it's interesting how it aligns to what, you know, some of the songs that Matt had chosen prayerfully. And so I really believe that that's God. And trusting the Holy Spirit will come and work in our hearts and minds today. So for those of you that like having a title for a preach, so I'd call it Transformation, Spiritual Growth for His Purpose and Not Ours. So in the Bible, yeah, you might say, what's all this transformation stuff about? You know, I mean, Mark has been talking a bit about it as well. And so in the Bible, transformation means a change or renewal from a life that no longer conforms to the ways of the world to one that pleases God. And that's in Romans 12:2. Right, this is accomplished by the renewing of our minds. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, and out of that, there's an inward spiritual transformation that manifests itself in outward actions. The Bible also presents a transformed life in Christ as demonstrated through us bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, and that's in Colossians 1:10. And the Bible also talks about how we were once far off from God, and how we've been drawn near to Him through the blood of Christ. And that's in Ephesians 2:13. And the gospel also very clearly talks about transformation at that salvation point around putting off our old self. And this is, Bible talks about how we are saved. And a lot of us sometimes think that's a one-time event, but I heard someone preaching the other day, and quite famous, and he was asked once, someone didn't know him in the congregation, they said, are you saved, you know? And he says, I am saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. So basically, the point there is that it's a lifelong journey, that there's that change going in us over time. Only when Jesus comes once again will we be perfect. But let me just put your mind at ease that if you've committed your life to God, He's accepted you, and you are destined for heaven. You've been saved from your destiny, which before was you know, basically, you know, hell. And I know we don't like to talk about these days; it's not politically correct. But if you've committed your life, you know God sees you as if you haven't sinned. So just put your mind at ease there. But it is a lifelong process. So the word talks about putting off our old self, which belongs to the former manner of life that we had, is corrupt through our deceitful desires. And Mark's spoken before about us having this baggage, you know, that we carry around. And that we need to put on a new self and be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And so that we are created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So that's really the whole message of the gospel. You know, and I heard somebody once gave me a picture of where you were sort of over here, it was your old self, and as you get saved, you unzip that old self, you step out of that, and you step into this new suit, you know, and zip it up, and because that's how God sees us. He doesn't see us as we were, even though we're not perfect and we continue sinning. He sees us as if we're perfect through the blood of Jesus. So the question you might be asking is, why do I need to transform? I mean, I've committed my life. I've accepted Jesus into my life. I'm saved. Yeah, what do I need to do anymore? You know, what do I need to do? Isn't that enough, you know? I've laid things down. The point is that we need to become more like Jesus. Because Jesus was actually what the Bible refers to as like the perfect son. He's the son of God. He was the perfect. He's our model. So are we ever going to get there in this lifetime? No, we're never going to. He was absolutely perfect. But When Jesus comes back, we will be perfectly glorified. We will be perfect in his eyes at that point in time. We're also called to be ambassadors for him in a lost world, to a lost world, and to bear fruit in every good work. So therefore, we do need to be changing continually in the fruit and how we think and how we view kingdom and how we view God and how we view what our purpose is. So it is, transformation is actually important. So how do we transform? And I'm just briefly going to go over one or two points that Mark has touched on before, and he touched a few areas last week, saying that firstly that transformation is often, so obviously transformation is occurs when you get saved. I mean that's a huge transformation event. But transformation is often birthed out of desperation. We often see solutions in hard circumstances often birthed out of us not having to rely on God come through. And I'm a prime example of that in my life. You know, I'm able to, a bit of a survivor, you know, and I can make a plan. But I've had to learn painfully at times, and this is an ongoing process of actually let God be God in my life, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to work rather than try and make a solution myself. And often out of times of desperation is where the biggest transformation has occurred in my life. We have to get to the place where you have to get to the point of saying, God, you have to break through now. Help. I'm at the end of myself. You have to get to that point. Mark also stressed that transformation must start through a deep encounter with God, right? Building your relationship with God is very important as well as part of the process. Transformation might require holding on until the blessing comes, all right? There's a time where there's perseverance. And we were talking about last week about how, yeah, with Jacob and his transformation experience where he was actually wrestling with God. And Jacob had always been a wrestler through his life, you know, he'd like been a bit of a mover and a shaker, you know, with Esau, he'd like arranged to get the inheritance from his brother, and he could work things out. He always like was wrestled with things, and he was scared of Esau, thought he was going to be killed, so he ran away, then eventually he came back, and he was always wrestling with his inheritance. So God actually met him at that point where he actually wrestled with God, until God put his hip out so that he'd be humbled. And at that point there was transformation, and God changed his name. And we all, in our transformation, we all, in a sense, have a new name. You know, so we still have the same names, but God sees us differently. So there's a new us, really, that comes out of that. As I said earlier, transformation changes our identity by changing our thinking. So we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And transformation is also about a right relationship with God. Instead of feeling better about myself and being happy, a lot of the time that's what, as humans, we actually sort of yearn for and chase after quite naturally. But actually God's more interested in changing us for his purpose, not to make us happy. Interestingly enough, and I'll talk about this later, is that when we get to that point of laying things down before him, there is a peace and joy that actually comes out of it. But there's a sort of step before that has to happen. So from my perspective, I've really over the last couple of weeks been thinking, you know, what transformation events have been in my life, you know? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, it's a lifelong journey, and we all know that. That's what the word says. But it's made me stop and think about how have I really changed, you know, to fall more in love with God or to be convicted about things, about who I am and what I'm called to, and to be, you know, it's not about doing church, you know. I mean, it's important that we get together to hear the word and that, but there's more than meeting on a Sunday. And because, you know, I had to get to the point of saying, well, I don't want to just do church. There's got to be more than that. There's got to be more in this thing with God, you know. What? I've got to have a purpose, you know. There's got to be a reality to it. Because otherwise, we're just like a club, right? So I was just thinking about, well, what are the events in my life that have really caused transformation? I mean, obviously, the main one was when I got saved 20-odd years ago, or a little longer than that. And I was about 28, and for me at that point, you know, sport and academics and me. I was sort of kings in my life, you know. They were on the throne. And I actually didn't need God, to be honest. And I'd openly say that to people. I mean, I knew about God, but I actually would openly say, yeah, it's a crutch, you know. I don't need God. I had my own strengths, and I was like, and God had to humble me and take a lot of that away. And we were living in America at the time. And I think Mark touched on it last week. I'd actually started to stutter. And my voice had always been my strength. And I had a sharp tongue in my early teens and early 20s. And especially if they had guys coming to preach the gospel to me, I had quick retort and response, and I'd sort of put them in their box. You know, I thought, there we go, you know, sort you out. But God actually had to work with me, and he actually took my voice away. I started stuttering. And it was the most terrible, terrible feeling, because my mind was racing 100 miles ahead. And I knew what I wanted to say, but I actually couldn't get it out. And I had this sick feeling in my stomach when I had to, you know. And I remember I thought, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to a Dale Carnegie course. I don't know if you know what Dale Carnegie is. You know, it's about sort of sales and marketing and, you know, get out there and do the thing. So this was in America, and Sheila came along with me, and we were in a crowd, probably 300-400 people. And everyone had to stand up and just say their name. Honestly, I stood up, I could not even get my name out. That was like embarrassing for me. I mean, it was like pride was like hauled out of my, you know. And but when I came to the point of actually, and Sheila used to watch Christian television, Christian Broadcasting Network, and there was a lot of testimony, and then the gospel was preached, you know, and the word was brought, and I never really wanted to watch it. And I used to go running, you know, sport, you know, I was fitness and health and all that was the main thing. But I'd come home and Sheila would record it, and I'd catch myself, I was sort of doing push-ups behind the sofa, you know, I'd be like listening and watching. So one day I was just convicted. I heard testimonies, other people had changed, and I said, I just convicted in my heart right there and then. And but God had obviously been in a process of humbling me as well, because I needed it big time. And I just said to Sheila, I need to commit myself. I want to commit my life to Jesus right now. And we prayed in the lounge. And I remember that time I didn't have these stars or anything like that. I actually went for a run. And, you know, I had really old running shoes. But, you know, it's like when you wear new running shoes, it's like quite bouncy. But I had really old running shoes. But it felt like I was about running on the moon. I didn't even know what had happened. But there was obviously something that happened inside of me. But the miracle was that the next day, my stutter went completely. I was only just reminded of it the other day again, you know. And so that was like a big, yeah, it's not to the same extent as a, you know, Paul to Saul type thing, but for me, it was actually, I needed to be humbled big time, you know. So that was a big transformation event in my life. And yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I started listening to the word. We started giving generously, all things that, I mean, it was totally against my nature, you know. I was like quite a hoarder, and it was all about me. The other areas of transformation, obviously, when the word, you know, through Rhema word, where the Spirit is moving through the word, that can change us, convict us. And that has been a number of times like that, where I've also heard, when I've had prophecy as well, where I had somebody prophesying over me years and years ago about how I was going to be, yeah, a businessman for God and all that. I didn't even know what that was about, kingdom finances. But there was something that changed in me, it must have been the Spirit, that I just started yearning for that. You know, and that's been a lifelong process of God working a lot of things out in my life, and he still is, to bring me to the point where I've actually committed things to him. But it's interesting that especially it's been in situations or circumstances where I've stepped out and risked things for God. And sometimes in my own strength, and I've maybe been in a situation. And that's an ongoing thing in my life, you know. There's still that inward fight between the old self and the new self as I'm being transformed more and more into his likeness. And I find in those situations that process of enduring and drawing close to God, and like that song you were singing this morning, was strength rises up as we wait on the Lord. And trusting him, no matter how desperate the situation or circumstances seem. You know, learning to hear his voice and be obedient. To trust him in the timing and breakthrough. It's very important to do that. And the key thing here is that whatever you're called to, you will, as you step out and make a decision that you're going to try and walk in that and try and live that out in your life as you feel God's called you to, there will be, you will be tested in that. I mean, Jesus was tested, right? He was tested out in the wilderness by the devil. You know, how many was it? 30 days? I can't even remember how long it was now. But, you know, he was really tested in all these things. And so if Jesus can be tested, you know, we are going to be too. And when you're actually starting to step out in what God's called you to, that's when the devil actually wakes up and he says, uh-oh, we don't want them to make a difference. So what I wanted to do this morning was, there was a passage of scripture that I'd felt in my heart to bring, and I just wanted to unpack some of that and bring out some key points, and which really speaks around spiritual growth for his purpose and ours. And that's, for those of you who want to follow in your Bibles, is Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. So I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. This is Paul speaking, so when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Well, that scripture has immense depth to it, you know. And so just some background here, because Paul kicks off, he says, when I think of all this, before he launches into the next few verses. If you look earlier in Ephesians really talks about how we've been adopted as sons and daughters, all right, in the kingdom. And how we've been chosen in advance, which is how we've been predestined. God chose us, each one of us, in advance. Aaron, Ramon, Murray, God chose each one of us, each one of you, in advance, before you were even born. He knew you before you were even born. And he chose in advance that you'd be adopted as his son in the kingdom. And if you look at that word adopted, and I don't know the Greek behind it, but the adopted, that actually means, it's not in the same sense as we know adopted today. It's as if you have inherited a true bloodline of Jesus. So Ephesians starts off talking about that, how we've been made alive in Christ. And Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 10, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this because it's a gift from God. The salvation is a gift, right? We don't earn it. It's a gift. And it also talks in 3 verse 10, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church, right, us and the universal church, right, all believers, to display his wisdom in its rich variety. Some translations talk about the manifold wisdom of God. Now, we are called to display that to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. When I heard that long some time ago, that's quite a striking thing. That's the way that God wants to. So you know, in Ephesians 6, it talks about these rulers and authorities, and there's a spiritual warfare going on. He wants to use us, little old us, as we start transforming, and we take on Christ and His power in us, and start living this out. As much as we sort of mess up and we trip and we, but He wants to use us to show the rulers and authorities about His manifold wisdom. I mean, you could look at that and think, well, that's like a heavy, you know, how am I going to do that? But we don't need to feel that because it's God by His Spirit that's working through us that's doing that. So that's why Paul says, when I think of all this, so that's what that the early part of Ephesians was talking about. So when he's looking back and saying what the real purpose of the church is and us, now that we're sons and daughters and united. Obviously, we're in a local church, but all the local churches together form the universal church. You know, what we're actually called to is actually quite a big thing. And so, a lot of the time, I've only, the realization of what God's purpose in all of that is, and in His gospel, has only come to light as I've studied His word and started thinking about that, you know. So, that's what Paul says, when I think of all this, wow, how are we going to do this thing? This is like, you know, it's quite a heavy, really. When I think of all this, first thing he says, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. It's interesting, it has to start with knowing who God is. You know, this morning we, in part of the worship, was, you're the name above all names, you're the King of kings, you're the Lion of Judah. We have to know who this great God is. And it's interesting that the word actually, well, Paul is praying for the Ephesians, of course, but he's actually prostrate on his knees and bowed down before the Father. Really surrendering and humbling himself, you know, honoring the King. And the word for Father there is actually a play on words. So there's Pater, which is, you know, in the Greek, is actually Father. And the Father in Middle Eastern times was a real place of honor. You know, he had the final say and things like that. So there was a real understanding of that. But it also spoke of, it's a play on words between father and family, patria, which is means it's the name from whom every family on heaven and earth takes its name. So we've got to start with knowing who this real God is, Almighty God is, you know, and that we're all part of His family. And that He's the King of kings and ruler of the world, because out of that, it actually demands an obedience. Yeah, you know, we need to obey the King, you know. And Jesus also says in John, He says, those that love me will obey my word. Yeah, it's, so if anything, one person we need to be obeying is Jesus. Yeah, everything else flows out of that. So it's got to start with us knowing who God is and humbling ourselves, having a holy reverence of God, you know, and it's got to be out of saying, okay, I'm called, I've got a purpose, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I've called to be this thing called the church, you know, the wider church, this group of believers, and we are called to, you know, really bring about change on the earth and show the rulers and authorities God's wisdom. How do I do this? It's got to start with you humbling yourself, you know, before God. And being obedient to what he's showing you. There's three things that I draw out here, which, if we're going to live our lives to fulfill the purpose He has for us, and that's from verses 16 to 19. The first thing is relationship with God. Second thing is to trust Him. And the third thing is to love Him and love others, to understand His love, to be able to love others. So relationship. So in verse 16, says, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. So we need God's mighty empowering by the Holy Spirit. We can only do this by the Spirit, right? Not in our own strength. And the word earlier talks about how Christ, when we get saved, Christ indwells us. All right? like we're impregnated in a sense with Christ. But Christ comes and indwells us, and he works out from the in of us and works to change as we change our mind. It works in and outwards in our lives. He indwells us so we can be rooted in and founded on love. And interesting that word, which says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. That word resources, the Greek is plutos, which means abundance of possessions, economic prosperity. Generally, that's what it meant in those times. But it actually means abundance of everything and anything that you need. In the New Testament, that word is generally meant to mean also that the heavenly riches of a relationship with God. So it's important that we spend time in his presence, understand who he is and his love, and that we have an abundance of everything in him, and that we are his son, of course, and his daughter, to work on that relationship that we have with him so that we can hear his voice and be obedient. Around God's unlimited resources, you know, in Philippians 4 verse 19, it talks about how God will supply all your needs as you're living things out for him. He will supply all your needs, you know. And Colossians 1:11 says that as we walk this out, it brings endurance, patience, and joy. So the first one is, if we're going to live out to fulfill this purpose he has for us, we need to understand our relationship with God. Second one is trust. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. But it all hinges around trusting him. All hinges around faith, building our faith in him. And that is an ongoing thing in my life as well, where I've had to learn to trust him. You know, trust God in his, he has promises for each one of us. But we've got to trust him. Sometimes when things are going wrong or things are going a bit like haywire, we think, oh God, where are you? You know, God hasn't gone anywhere. The word says that God's a never forsaking one. He never lets you down. You know, the one thing that I've always been able to somehow, and I can only say it's by his grace, always been able to stand on what the word says for me, even though sometimes the world around me is showed differently. And doesn't mean I haven't struggled with it, but it's just really to believe that what the word says is true. Because if I don't believe the whole word, nothing but the word minus nothing, the one word plus nothing, if I don't believe what the word says, to me, I've said to Sheila once before, what's the point of being a Christian? I mean, yeah, I may as well just put it in my drawer and go and sit on the beach, you know, which is probably where I'd prefer to be, except for today. But you have to believe what the word says about you, those promises, and hang on to them no matter what. So to live our lives with a fuller, loving trust in him, being more and more deeply molded by our sonship is key. In Colossians 2 verse 7, it says, let your roots grow down into him, let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So as I said, as we push into these things, there will be a joy and thankfulness that will actually come out of it as a result. This will keep us strong and able to endure in times of trial and hardship. You note as well that it actually says, where is that now? And you may have the power to understand as all God's people should. And in the other translation, it talks about together with all the saints. It's important to realize that love that is known corporately as a church, and these verses unashamedly actually make it very clear that it's not about, obviously there's the individual relationship we have and all that, but these verses actually talk the importance of actually together with the saints, that as we are united together in this, because there's obviously an encouraging one another in that, but as we're united together, that's when he's talking about that sort of love and action that comes out of that. What I've learned in this trust thing has been a huge thing, where I've had to trust God in the promises he's had in my life. Even when It hasn't looked like that was going to be. And as I explained to you before, I've had many prophecies in my life. Lots, every second person seemed to be come out and prophesying the same thing over me. Oh, God's going to use you in business. You're going to sow money into the kingdom. You're going to do this. And there was something that I thought, yeah, that sounds great. And we've been able to do that many times in our lives, but God's had to teach me a lot about what that really is, you know. And at times, it seemed like the total opposite was happening. We didn't have money. It was all going pear-shaped, you know, and it like seemed to be totally the opposite. So in those times, I had to dig deep, deep wells into God to try and get his perspective and not mine. You know, because sometimes you take it from what appears to be reality around you. Otherwise, you lose trust in the promises that he's given to you. We need to come to the end of ourselves, and that's one thing that I've had to learn. I had to come to the end of myself. And also, I just really get back to desiring to live out my life for him fully. It's easy to say you trust. But when it comes down to brass tacks, when it comes, you know, that's when, you know, it really, you know, some, I heard the analogy sometimes is when the toothpaste is squeezed, you know, when the toothpaste thing is squeezed, you know, what comes out, right? You know, it's like, trust has got to be, you know, you've got to walk it out. You've actually got to experience God's faithfulness and him coming through in your life to actually, to build that trust and faith in him. And unfortunately, some of us, you know, we all have past experiences, you know, and we've been let down by people, there have been past failures, and, you know, why didn't God come through? And, you know, those are all things God wants to work through our lives, you know, and work out in us. So it's important that we have a relationship with God, we need to trust him, and thirdly, we need to comprehend God's wisdom and love more fully. And as the verse says, as you have the power to understand, all people, God's people should, how wide, how deep, how high and long his love is, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. In Judaism, the four dimensions that I spoke about, the width, the width, the depth, the height, the length of God's love, actually refer to his unfathomable wisdom. So we need to comprehend God's wisdom and love more fully. And what is clear to me as I've read more and more on this is that where Christ's love is deeply known, there, that's where he's actually able to exercise his rule. And we are then made complete with all fullness and power. And Jesus says in John 14:23, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. So understanding God's love for us obviously is a key. And obviously we choose to love him, and that's something that we work out over time as well. And, I mean, in the church, the two key verses for us are, you know, love the Lord, the greatest commandment, love the Lord and God, Lord your God, with all your heart and mind and soul, and love others as yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love others, which is what we are called to do out in the world, unless we love God. It's impossible. Now, the key verse for me in all of this is verse 20, which is, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to him in the church, in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. It's important that we are reminded of God's immense and gracious power at work in us. And also the important thing here is that all glory to God. What I've had to come to realize, this is not about me. This is about bringing glory to him. You know, all these things that we do. And it's about us, there may be glory given to God through the church. For his glory and not ours. So that doesn't refer, and in the word behind this, it refers to not selfish requests, but petitions that align with his intent for the church. Remember earlier we spoke about in Ephesians 3 verse 10, it says, you know, God's purpose is to use the church to display his manifold wisdom to the rulers and authorities. That's what his intent is. And that's what he gives us power for and abundance for, is to do that. Obviously, us as his people, as his sons, we have an inheritance. We have all that we need. We have all the blessings. There is, of course, we're part, you know, we're his family. There's a fallout for us. So he supplies all our needs too. But first and foremost is what's God's purpose and intent for the church as a whole. It's interesting that when you talk about his mighty power at work within us, in Ephesians 1:20, it says that power is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I don't know if we actually understand that. You know, so, you know, we have that same power working in and through us. All right, I'm coming into land. Yeah, one of the stories that's really stood out for me recently is that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they were three Hebrews that had obviously been taken off into captivity in Babylon. It was a King Nebuchadnezzar, I think. And, you know, I think he'd instituted a rule where they had to bow down to some statue of Nebuchadnezzar, whatever the case might be. And obviously I think it was that. Same as Daniel with the lion's den, similar thing. But they obviously didn't. So there were some guys out there who sort of ran up to the king and said, oh, look at those three guys. They're not bowing down to you. But they obviously knew what God's purpose and intent for them was. And they weren't going to be distracted to bow down to something that wasn't of God. You know, they weren't going to be about anything that wasn't of God. And yeah, it's interesting that obviously, as you know the story, they got sent to this massive furnace. You know, they fired the furnace up even hotter than before, and they were going to throw them in the furnace. And that the guys that held them and threw them in, the fire was so hot that those guys like vaporized basically. They burned, you know, the guys that threw them in. But they obviously said, whether God will save us or not, we're trusting him. As irrespective, we're not doing anything else. Cause that's the only way we can live. And as you know the story, there was a third person, which obviously was Christ, walking with them in the fire. And eventually the king called them out, and there wasn't even a singe on them or anything like that, you know. They were totally untouched. And out of that, because they trusted him, and their testimony was even the king said, well, this God of theirs is awesome. You need to worship him. You know, it like gave glory to God. So often, you know, and Mark has touched on this before, is that we don't want to step out of our comfort zone. We don't want to be sent to the furnace, right? And sometimes fire in difficult circumstances where a lot of transformation does change, not only that, as I explained before, but a lot of the time that's where it is, you know, and it has been so for my life, I can assure you. And this is an ongoing thing. It's not a once-off event when I'm perfect. I'm far from perfect. I'm believing that God must really have some big purpose in me, because he seems to be working my case all the time. So I really have to trust him and dig deep to trust him all the time. And just recently, and I've been really praying for trusting God for breakthrough from a business perspective, and there have been a lot of changes going on, and we sort of felt, you know, to go in a certain direction, and in a sense, through past actions, we've sort of been forced in a certain direction, and things, sometimes we look back and say, oh, was it me? You know, why? But I'm trusting in time, as I look back, that I'll see how God has moved us from there to there, where at the time, if all was going well in what we were doing, we would have been in our comfort zone. We would never have wanted to change, you know. And I know Sheila said to me some time back as well, she'd felt, as before all this sort of started unfolding, that she'd felt God wanted to move us into a new season. There was something new happening. And really had to dig deep and try and trust God, even though it's been so uncertain, and there's still some uncertainty. But I really had to get down and say, and we've been praying, you know, find all the scriptures on trusting God, faithfulness in God, praying. We really started praying these things, but nothing seemed to be moving. And it's been weeks and months. I think it was last Friday, I actually got to the point where I sort of cried out to God and I said, God, you have to break through now. I can't do any more. I've had enough. You have to break through now. And it wasn't a I suppose it was a desperation, but it wasn't that sort of call. It was sort of just, God, I'm gonna have to rest in you. You have to break through now. I can't go anymore. You know, Sheila and I journeyed this thing differently, and we, you know, it starts impacting us and the fam. God, we can't go on like this. You have to break through now. I just got to that point. I actually got to the end of myself. And the verse that I actually opened, what I actually read that morning, was Psalm 73, verse 28. It says, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. And that just exploded in my spirit. It was like, God, I don't care what happens. It's just good to be near you. I felt a closeness to God that I've never felt before in my life. It was like a surreal sort of, I sort of come to the end of myself. It's like, God, I really feel neat. It's like weird. I just like peace, you know. It's like, just sort of breathe out, and it's like, it's so good to be near you, God, because I know you're there. Even though nothing is breaking through, I just got to that point of saying, God, it's good to be near you. I have made you my shelter. It's like I just knew that. It was something that just broke in me. And I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. And what jumped in my spirit there was I said, God, I'm trusting you that there's going to be breakthrough coming, and then I'll be able to testify through to others. It'll help others in their journey to understand you more and to break through as well. I know that there's going to be a testimony to glorify God in this. I just knew that, even though nothing had come yet. I just got to that point, and there was an excitement that welled up in me. There was something that had changed in the spiritual realm. It was, I can't explain it any other way. And I remember excited trying to explain it to Sheila, and this has happened, you know. And Sheila was saying, and we were sort of saying, well, but there's no breakthrough, you know. I mean, but I said, I know, but something happened in me today. You know, and I know it had. And that day, I'd actually put in a big proposal for a company, and it was like totally out of the box, totally different from what I would normally do, and it happened through a whole series of events. But yeah, I got a call saying, yeah, we want to talk to you. So you got through the next round. I was like, wow, I knew something was happening. I knew something was happening because I needed something to happen. But something all of a sudden was happening. And it's just gone from there to the point where we've actually won this work. You know, we're a small company competing against the IBMs and Deloittes and all these. It's like mind-blowing. I don't know where it's going to go. It's only a short bit of work, but it's going to up. But irrespective of that, I just feel that something has changed. Is it clear exactly how our path is going to unfold going forward? Is the whole road ahead mapped out, signed with contracts, and is it all dead certain? Not at all. It's uncertain times out there, guys, if you don't know. I mean, in business, and it's very uncertain, especially in WA. It's not, but there's a peace that's come. I've got to the point of saying, God, I know what your intent is for your church, that I'm part of it somehow. I'm your son. I'm part of this thing, even though sometimes I feel, you know, how can I be? What can I do? I know who you are, your mighty power, that you have an abundance, that to you through your mighty power you can accomplish abundantly more, infinitely more than what I might ask or think. And I've been asking and thinking certain things, but that was the verse that got me looking at the Ephesians 3. Actually, I just knew there was an abundance more than what I was even thinking. So whatever you might be struggling with or working through, God has a infinitely more, abundantly more than you can even, that you've been asking or thinking. But I'm sorry to say, it's not for you. I mean, there'll be an impact in your life, of course, but that's not the main purpose. His main intent is that you get aligned with his purpose for the church and what your role is there too, out of you being a son or daughter in the kingdom, because it's the Holy Spirit that actually empowers us. He's the one that's doing it. But through our relationship with him, is to actually start getting on our knees, prostrate before him, to just hear what he's saying to us and being obedient to do it. Even if it means stepping out of your comfort zone, even if it means, it's like, whoa, only God can break through you, not me, but I really feel God's calling this and calling me to do that. And don't go and start changing jobs and selling houses and going crazy. If you're going to do major life-changing events, come and talk to someone you trust, someone that is like a spiritual father in your life, one of the elders, one of the leaders, anybody, just at least, or other guys that you're hanging out with in connect groups or whatever, share it with others. They can pray with you so that you don't just sort of knee-jerk and make a, having that desire and heart initially is good. But so, as I said, my story, I got to the place of crying out, God, you have to break through now. Came to the end of myself. I know that he's the never forsaking one, even though it seems that sometimes he seems to be absent. He's not. That's what the word says. You've got to believe everything about the word. So for you, I'm sure, and as Sheila brought earlier, was saying, we all have a story. We all have different stories, and God's working out things differently with each one of us. And, but he's chosen each one of us in advance. He's chosen us, Ramon, chosen you to be his son. Pete, he's chosen you. Sean, Murray, Terry. We've been made alive in him. We have a purpose. He has a purpose that's been mapped out before the beginning of time. He knew how he wanted to use you and the role which you play. And the good thing is that there's this image in the church where we're all, like burnt stones, right? We've all been charred. We've all been burnt. We've all been broken. But there's this image of rebuilding the wall, which is his church. And we all have a little place. We all fit in that little nook and cranny. So you fit in just in that place with what gifts and skills that God's placed in you. So that together, as a church united, we can make known the manifold wisdom of God. And we can bring about a change in the heavenlies. We can bring about a change in people's lives, in our neighbors, because they will see the truth about God in our lives. So I just want you just to think about where you're at right there. I'm just going to just give you an opportunity to, I'm just going to play a song. We can just bow our heads and just think. And if you want someone to pray with you, just come and say, if you want to come and talk to one of us for prayer in something where you need breakthrough, then just come and talk to us. It could be that you need to prostrate yourself before God, acknowledging his sovereignty and love for you. It could be that you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You might need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit and a knowing that he will supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. It might mean you need to live your life with a fuller loving trust in him. deeply molded by your sonship. It could mean that maybe you struggle with trust because you've been let down by others. You've been hurt. You've been let down by the church. You've been let down by leaders. You've been let down by partners. You've been let down by your parents. You've been let down by friends. That you struggle to trust in Him. Might mean you need to comprehend more God's wisdom and love into more fullness. Might mean that you need to be reminded of God's immense and gracious power at work in you and you're through the church. Yes, Father. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and renew our minds. Come and change hearts. Come and touch our lives right now. Touch each one of us where we're at. The things that we are struggling with, the things that we are working through. It might mean that some of us have felt we are called to a certain thing, but it doesn't seem to be happening. It doesn't seem to be opening up, and there's frustration. Could mean that people are really faithing for jobs and work breakthroughs. Could be breakthroughs in family relationships for restoration. So many areas that there could be breakthrough, Father. Father, pray, Holy Spirit, you come and meet each one here where they're at. And that you come and just come and bring your wisdom and insights and your love. Your reassurance that we can trust in you, to know who you are and your power working in and through us. Father, help us to see, unveil the mysteries of your kingdom to us, Father, of what your intent is with your church and with each one of us, Lord. Awaken our hearts to that. Speed up our hearts. Do something in our hearts that our hearts will skip a jump, will skip a beat. Will increase right now after your own heart, Father. Yes, come and work in us, Father, for your purpose and not ours. Thank you, Lord, that we've been called into relationship with you, and that it's a gift. It's not by works. Help us to make you get to the point. We will come to the end of ourselves, and that we make you our shelter. We can trust in you no matter what the storms bring. So that we can tell everybody, everyone, about the wonderful things about you and that you do. Father, we honor you. We want to glorify you. We thank you that you are the one and only way to live, Father. Holy Spirit, come. Might mean that if you look forward and you think, how am I ever going to get through what I'm going through now? How is it possible? With God, it is possible. Know that He loves you and that He has a plan for you. And as you come through these current challenges, that He will grow you spiritually to understand more who He is and who you are in Him. Holy Spirit.
Help us to trust in you, Father, to trust in you for all things. Thank you that you are for us, Father, not against us. Thank you, Jesus.